lucky. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the colder west, or the inner colder, inner windier, inner eerie west.
In a minute.
In a minute.
Yeah. In a minka. Nice little country town.
It's all black
town.
And white now.
Yes.
Welcome to 2RDJ on a really windy night. It was weird today. We were at the Strathfield Spring Fair.
We saw the Strathfield Spring Fairy.
We did see it, and we saw a very strange clown dancing to Bush. Nutbush City Limits. And if you're out there, hopefully you had some of the really cool. There's a takoyaki, the Japanese food, and some of the corn on the cob, and
the corn on the cob was good.
Despite
that, I had some.
Yeah, they. Oh, great. Yeah, they almost outdid what we normally do in the grill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. They put on. There was some great stuff out there, and some of the 2RDJ hosts were out there providing music and listening pleasure and water, lots of water for people.
Lots of water?
You made the comment that there was lots of water for people to quench their thirst on.
That's right.
Yes.
Their thirsts.
Thirsts, yeah.
Yes. Oh, by the way, you're listening to the Gadget Grill. I am Gary Stark. That is Lee Stark over there. Good evening, Lee.
Is it evening? I just want to go to sleep. I'm so tired. The wind has pulled it out of me.
He's looking for a sleep apnea gadget.
I'm looking for something to keep me awake. Have you got a V or a Red Bull or something? I could really go with something right now.
No.
Oh, fine. Well, tonight on the Gadget Grill, we're actually talking about we're getting someone else to talk to us about it, because this week we got to play with a new type of gadget. Sort of new type of gadget. It's a way of making any computer you've got touch enabled. It's not a touch screen. That would be cool.
That'd be
expensive.
If it had a screen on it, that would be cool.
It'd be expensive. Instead, you might have heard of a graphics tablet before. Well, now a company called Wacom, who've been doing the most, have introduced proper touch with your fingers. You can actually put your fingers on and move it around. So we'll be hearing about that tonight. We'll be hearing about it from someone who's, I guess, I mean, we're the Gadget Grill, and he's the gadget guy. You think he should maybe work for us for a change?
Oh, God, we can't afford him.
No, there's no way we can afford him. Maybe we should just make him a dish hand or something.
We could make him,
a dish hand? We could maybe make him work in the kitchen or in the back room?
Well, no one else works in the kitchen.
No one works in the Gadget Grill as it is. We've also got a whole bunch of news. Like, I've got tabs and tabs and tabs. My Wi-Fi is back to working in the station tonight.
Oh, well, very good. Congratulations. Let me see what I can do about that.
It's the Wi-Fi edition. Yeah, you screwed it up enough last week. Let's see how well you do this week.
That's right.
We've got a whole bunch of music, so let's get stuck into something. This is a new song. This is a Panic at the Disco, who do a lot of rock that you can dance to, but it's a little bit troubling, this song, for me, because I happen to love Panic at the Disco, and I also love Third Eye Blind,
And you also like going to the disco.
No, I don't. But this is Panic at the Disco, who sound a hell of a lot like Third Eye Blind. So this is their new song, New Perspective.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the inner west that was blown away with the wind and whatnot. I know.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
If you happen to be listening to us on a radio, hopefully your radio is still stationary and stuck to your table and hasn't blown away in the wind, and you could be listening to us on 88.1, unless you have to fiddle around with that little piece of metal, in which case we're on 88.1.5.
That's called an antenna.
I don't know.
Just anymore. Stand a little bit to the left and he'll get better reception.
Hey, Rocky, what's me pulling an antenna out of my hat? But that trick never... Anyway, you could also listen to us on a computer if you don't have an antenna or a little piece of metal or a coat hanger.
What are you doing listening to the Gadget Grill on the radio? You should be listening to it on the internet.
On the internet, that's right.
Yeah, you can on listen the Steam internet.
The Steam internet, the Steam-driven internet. We've got a guy, we've got Peter actually in the back room in studio and peddling away like a little midget on fire.
No, he's actually shoveling coals into the boiler.
Into the server room. He's got...
Yep, shoveling coal into the server. No wonder the server doesn't bloody work.
And if you actually want to find out just how well that server works, test his limits, head to www.radio2rdj.com to make Peter work faster, where you can listen to our show and make him work harder and harder and harder. He's going to have to take his shirt off eventually.
That's an area we don't want to visit.
That's nothing we want to see.
I
didn't want to see you in your birthday suit a couple of weeks ago, but yet you forced me to do that.
I know.
I'm paralyzed now.
And now on to the news. You have news, do you?
I have some news. Do you want me to start?
Yes.
Okay.
Go with the news.
I'll do the boring one first. We all have CPUs inside our computers.
We do.
I have an Intel in mine. I've had AMDs before. Well, AMD, who are pretty much the only... they're one of the only competitors to Intel, I guess, are going to... they've got a plan to release...
A master plan.
Excellent. They want to release... it's called Thubian. This is the code name. Or Thuban. That's the code name. A six-core...
Is that like Thuban James, the old song?
I have no idea why your bad jokes keep getting worse, but I think you should seek help professionally, a psychiatrist... professional psychiatrist.
I had a brain scan the other day.
Yeah,
it was negative.
It revealed nothing, literally. AMD are planning to release a 6-core CPU that will be released next year and will be backwards compatible with the existing AM2 Plus boards.
So a Core Duo has got 4 cores, so there's going to be a Core 3.
A Core 2 Duo has 2 cores. A Core 2 Quad, Core 2 is the name of the chip in Intel, there's a Core 2 Quad, which has 4
Have I confused you?
Yeah, I'm trying to explain this to our listener. A Core 2 Duo has 2 cores. A Core 2 Quad has 4 cores, even though the name sounds really weird. Then you have the Phenome, which is a 4-core chip from AMD.
And
the Tri-Core, which is a 3-core chip, 4 cores, one's been disabled. They're planning to release a 6-core chip.
That's the AMD, the Tri-Core.
That's right. And they're planning...
See, I'm not totally stupid.
You're just mostly stupid, right? Yes. This is actually going to have the Phenome 2 X6 moniker, so look out for X4 and X3. Those are your... That's how many cores you have.
They're not going to have the Pheromone 6, are they?
No, not have Pheromone 6. The Pheromone X3, I'm sure that'll give off different signs. You want to go, sir, before this joke falls into itself?
Okay.
More than it already has.
Are you aware that the Palm Pre... is now, this is in America.
I'm aware that the Palm Pre is not out yet. That's what I'm aware of.
It's not available in Australia, but in America, people have paid up to $300 for it under a plan. But at the moment, if you go to Walmart, it's costing you a lousy $80 on a 2-year plan.
But it's not an iPhone.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing. I think it's a sign that the Pre's not doing as well.
That's what I think as well. I know that a friend of mine, there's the Palm Pixie as well.
The Pixie's
not yet available, but that's a cheaper version of the Pre. But how can it be a cheaper version of the Pre when the Pre's $80? That means it's got to be free.
Which also says that the Pre isn't doing very well and has me a bit worried because the Pre did...
It holds a lot of promise.
Yeah, it did, especially the WebOS stuff. Interesting, someone's actually got... Hold on, I've got it here. Someone has worked out how to make blind people see. Do you hear about this?
Yes.
You see?
I understand.
Okay, good, because I was expecting a really bad joke from you. It is called...
It is called...
Could you stop dying in the back there? Did you catch something from the wind today? It was blowing in the wind and it just got lodged in your throat?
I think it's all the dust this week because the gadget grill, you haven't cleaned all the dust off the bloody counters.
It's not my job too. You're supposed to hire someone for that.
Oh, that's Colin's job, isn't it?
No, that's what we'll get. That's what we'll get the gadget guy for.
Okay.
We probably can't.
Okay. Hi, Peter.
All right, so the technique is called osteodontokeratoprosthesis. I'm not kidding. I seriously pronounced that live.
That sounds like
on the air.
Japanese TV show.
It does. What they do is, to make blind people see, they extract a tooth, they get a tooth from the person, they drill a hole through it, they put a lens in there, a prosthetic lens, and then they put that little piece they've made into the blind person's eye. And there's a reason they have to do something like that. They can't just do something artificial. It's because it won't bond to the body. The body requires something natural, not artificial, for it to connect to the human eye. So they've
actually...
And
that's the tooth.
That is the tooth. And so...
Are they using the whole tooth?
The whole tooth and nothing but the tooth? Yeah. Shut up. Just.
Or are they just using a sliver of the tooth?
Apparently, it doesn't fix every sort of blindness, and it does work though. That's the thing. So it doesn't look pretty. I got to admit, the pictures of the people I've seen it done on look sort of like a horror movie, which is not a good sign. However, it lets them see, and that's the most important part.
It gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, you know, sort of, I'm eating you with my eyes.
You know,
it?
I really wish your jokes would shut up. Could you pick a more inappropriate time? I think you've got a Braille story to go with.
I do have one, yes. Last week you mentioned the Nokia with the, with the Braille.
Absolutely, because they're doing stuff of it. With haptic feedback.
Yeah, that's right. A group of students at MIT have unveiled a new prototype of a label maker that prints out in Braille.
It's a weird-looking label maker, too. It looks kind of like a heart.
But it's got six buttons on it, I believe.
Yes, it does.
And a neck strap hangs around your neck. You've got the six buttons, one for each.
It almost looks like a bagpipe, but prints out labels, Braille labels.
Yeah, but I think it makes a better sound than a bagpipe.
Would not be hard.
Sorry, Maris.
Maris is our Scottish DJ here.
The internal processor device can store up to 16 characters. So that's about, the full complement of a day's output here at the station, isn't it?
If we're lucky.
Yes.
If we're lucky.
And prints the characters onto adhesive labels, which you can then fix to household items. You know, sort of if you've got medications, different tablets that you need to take, then you can label them in Braille.
So I can label your mouth with bad jokes will come out of in Braille?
Well, no.
A very long label.
No, for me, you need a good lot of gaffer tape to just
perfectly
seal them out.
Right, to shut you up completely. I'll put it on top of it.
Yeah. They're talking about this costing as little as $200 when it hits the market. That's
pretty amazing.
I reckon that's bloody good value.
I can't wait to see something like that. We'll need someone to show us exactly what it means, but I think that is a phenomenal invention. And I was talking to some people who are public servants this week, and they're telling me that
no such thing.
Shut up. They were telling me that they have blind people working with them, and devices like this, and devices like we're talking about later on the show, are perfect for people with disabilities such as this.
I know of a couple of photo labs that used to have blind people working in the dark rooms.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Makes a lot of sense,
Speaking of faces, Picasa, which is a Google-owned application that you can get for free. If you've got a Windows PC or a Mac,
you
can actually download. Picasa is a photo editing and tagging application, and it's already had things like GPS tagging. So if you take a picture, if you've got GPS tagging, it will tell you where you took it and, you know, upload that to YouTube and Picasa's images library and let you saw that. It now actually has facial recognition. With the geotagging.
Well, that's
so the geotagging's new, apparently. I've just got that wrong. I just accidentally read that. But the facial recognition...
How do you accidentally read something?
You know, just shut up. Just shut up, okay? You don't get to talk about anything like this. The fact that I only read this 10 seconds before I actually put it to air, that says a lot.
That's how new the news is here on the Gadget.
Freaking new, yeah. So it's got facial recognition as well as geotagging, which is amazing, especially considering you have to... Normally, like on a PC, I know you got Lightroom and Adobe Bridge that do things like that, sort of. And you've got iPhoto, which you have to pay for as part of the iLife kit. This is Picasa. It's free. I love that.
Does iPhoto work with that new dental implant?
I really wish you would shut up sometimes. I mean, I know we're on the air and you're not supposed to shut up. That would miss the point. Why don't you not say a bad joke for a time
something? I've got to say a word in defense of Picasa because I've been using it a little bit on Windows 7 at the moment, on my new Windows 7 installation.
Mm-hmm.
And I am quite impressed with it.
It's a good piece of software. It's not good for me. It's good for everyone else.
Yeah, it catalogues the images quite nicely.
Because especially considering when you've got choices to use, like on Windows 7, you also have that Live Essentials Windows Photo Manager thing, and that's actually not as good, I've found.
I've not tried that yet.
I have, and it modifies the JPEGs, and it has me a little bit concerned about how it does things, to be honest.
It should not be changing anything.
Well, it doesn't.
Unless you instruct it so to do.
It doesn't change them. It puts them in a different location and then leaves it for you to try and figure out what's happened.
Do not move anything, please. I know where I put it. That's where it should stay.
Speaking of cameras, I'm just going to insert another news story since you haven't really jumped in. Pentax have released a new camera this week.
This one is a good one. Yeah, it doesn't take photos.
Well, it does take photos. It's called the water. It's the Optio W80, which is one of their waterproof, heavy-built cameras. Because Pentax makes surprisingly good cameras usually. I mean,
they used to make great cameras.
Yeah, they used to make great cameras. These days they make surprisingly good cameras. That's the thing. It supports things like an anti-shake system. It's got an HD movie mode. It's got 5x optical zoom, and it can really withstand a lot, but apparently it's not good at taking pictures. So it's a great paperweight. Apparently it's got excessive noise levels at ISO level 100.
Oh, dear.
Which means that you've got dots and pixels everywhere, which can't be a good thing. Apparently anti-shake's so slow it doesn't actually become useful. I guess in the time that that took them to make a waterproof, airtight camera, they couldn't quite get something that actually worked out of the lens. Shame, though.
I guess the taking all the air, making it airtight, has also drained all the photo sites.
Guess so.
As well.
Yep. What have you got?
What do you get when you cross Starbucks and an iPhone?
A yuppie that I'm going to smack in the side of the head, and if he doesn't get out of the way to get his freaking macchiato, I'm going to kick him too.
How about you get an application that lets iPhone users pay for their coffee at Starbucks with their iPhone?
That just sounds traumatic.
Starbucks card...
That's not available here, is it?
No, it's not. The Starbucks card mobile application gives users instant access to their Starbucks accounts, and they can use it to pay for their coffee.
Oh, God.
It's available to owners of a Starbucks loyalty card.
Loyalty card.
Yes. Yeah. And it synchronizes their account and balance information on their iPhone. And in some of the stores now, you can actually use your iPhone to pay for your coffee on your Starbucks account. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I'm not really sure. I think I'd like to see it. I see personally that it'll be used next to Macca's.
It sort of reminds me of when I was in the back of a taxi in Shenzhen in China, and they had the little video screens behind the driver's seat. So you're watching a video movie in your taxi cab while you're being driven around the streets of Shenzhen. Now, that almost sounds advanced until you realise that the video that was being shown was a very old Mr. Bean episode.
Ooh.
And I'm trying to wonder whether that's advanced or not.
Well, I've got two news stories. I can either do the Lightpeak one or the Xbox one. Which would you like?
Let's do the Xbox one.
The Xbox one? We've done
an iPhone, so let's do a Microsoft.
I'll quickly mention Lightpeak anyway. Lightpeak's new technology that Intel are working on, based on something that Apple apparently have told them to create, it's an Apple story. And it will actually merge things like FireWire, USB, and your display into one plug, which is kind of nice, but I actually kind of like having multiple plugs.
FireWire, USB,
and a display adapter into one device, which I don't think is a good idea. I'm not actually quite sure about. That's what I'm reading.
This is going to be fine. USB like into VGA.
It's like HDMI plus for your computer. Anyway, the Xbox story is this: at the University of Warwick, a scientist has developed a method, and I'm reading this now, the quote here, to use Microsoft's Xbox 360 to detect heart defects and help prevent heart attacks. So apparently, what's happening is there's an element of data with graphics that's tracking how signals out of the heart move about damaged cells, and it's creating a graphic model out of it.
Okay.
Using an Xbox 360.
That's pretty
cool.
Now,
that is using video games for a very cool purpose.
Oh, there's some of the technology that's being used is quite amazing.
Well, you can use a PlayStation 3 as a supercomputer because of how high spec it is. And there are people in the world using them, several lots of them. Because they're only $400 or $500. They're using them to actually solve, you know, cancer issue. No, it's not SETI. It's like SETI. It's like distributed computing, but not.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we get into some music before we get all caught up in this whole
health
thing?
I think we should get into music, and I think we should avoid Hansard. We should avoid reading from Hansard.
Okay, well, this is from the Once soundtrack. This is Glenn Hansard. It's not the same as Hansard, okay? Oh,
thank goodness.
Yeah,
for that.
This is Leave. You going to play it? Yeah?
Press the button twice and nothing there.
There you go. This is Glenn Hansard and Leave.
Students from the Space Odyssey team will be on After School Detention this Monday from 5 p.m. on 88.1 2RDJ FM.
The students will be talking about their school, keeping you updated with live city rail and traffic updates, local news and happenings, as well as being teamed up for Red vs Blue, trivia, celebrity studio and playing their favourite songs.
We also have great CDs to give away too.
That's this Monday from 5pm on 88.1 2RDJ FM and streaming online at www.radio2rdj.com.
Remember, if you want to nominate your school for after school detention, visit at www.radio2rdj.com. That's www.radio2rdj.com.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Jazzless West. Although it's not Jazzless, on every weekday here at the station from 11 till 1.
11 till 1? Every weekday. That's W-E-A-K.
No, every weekday is a W-E-A-K day. We should get into an actual story here, otherwise we're going to run out of time for everything else. What we're actually... we saw a launch this week of a new product. It's not a new product, it's a revision of a product.
Actually, there is some new technology.
Some new technology, exactly. The product is called the Wacom Bamboo, which is a graphics tablet. Basically, it's a pen tablet that you plug into your computer and you can draw with it. But that's not what it does.
If you can draw.
Well, you can't draw, so that's pretty freaking obvious. Anyway, this new tablet allows you to use your fingers with your computer.
And you can use... Two fingers.
Shut
one
up.
Finger
just or... shut up. Your jokes just get worse by the minutes. Just shut the hell up for the moment. Okay. So, we were there, and there was someone really cool there who was talking for on behalf of, well, I guess the company, but he's talking on behalf of people, I guess.
He's going around representing Wacom. But he actually knows his stuff.
He does. And he wears really cool shoes.
And shirts.
Yes. So this is people are seeing. You may have heard of him. He is the gadget guy on Channel 7. This is what he had to say.
Okay, let's have a listen to what Pete had to say about the Wacom Bamboo.
Look, thanks a lot. It's my background with Wacom tablets goes back a long, long way. As David mentioned, the education element, most of you probably don't know, but I was a senior science and maths teacher for 14 years in the education department. And I first came across the Wacom tablet in the art department. And I've got to say, that kind of led to a passion to get involved with it. When I saw what somebody who knows what they're doing can do with a tablet. And we're talking about tablets a long time ago. So and they've evolved enormously since then. But also, and as David said, I'm going to take it out and I'm doing quite a lot in the retail environment with consumers. So I'm working with Officeworks and JB Hi-Fi and Harvey Norman to take the product to put it in consumers' hands. But what David doesn't know is that, you know, I've kind of had this personal relationship with Wacom tablets because first of all, it was in the art department at school, and then when I got into publishing, I realised that it was an essential tool for graphic artists. And of course, as David mentioned again, that's kind of the top line level. It's where you see the product being used just to its extreme and being able to do so much with the product. But more recently, and you know, very few people know this, but I have a daughter who did a fine arts degree, and she's currently in the UK. The one thing that she says, and I gave her a tablet before she went away, she's now working in a design studio and doing photography and retouching. And the thing that she says to me is that she just loves her tablet. And she kind of is not as connected to Wacom, but it's her tablet. And it was a pen-based tablet. When I got to see these new tablets, I realised what was happening here was that Wacom was extending its reach because, you know, the tablets that existed before were, while not difficult for consumers to use, were presented a challenge. The new tablets, based on touch and using pen and touch together, are remarkable. I've got to say that after using them for a very short time, I just became absolutely enamoured in the ability to suddenly convert any computer into a touch device. And that just changed everything about, first of all, the way I was interfacing with computers. And you've probably seen a few launches recently of computers with touch built in. Virtually every manufacturer is heading down that path. But the installed base of computers you can't do much with. You connect a Wacom touch and pen tablet, and suddenly that computer comes to life. You change the dimensionality of how you work with the product, how you interface with it. And the interface, you think about it, the interface is with computers, is quite old. It's a QWERTY keyboard, basically an electronic typewriter, and a mouse. And the mouse was developed in the 1960s. Little has changed. Touch has really started to evolve into the hardware area of computing. But think about the millions of computers that are out there that, unless you buy a brand new computer and you pay a premium to get touch, you can't do it. For under $99, you can add touch to your computer. So, and then there's a creative element of it. And this is the thing where, my daughter, just talking to her recently, the tablet has opened so many doors for her on a creative level. So there is an enormous amount that can be done with this, and it's a hackneyed phrase, but really the current range of Wacom tablets are limited only by your imagination. That's it. That's the limitation of it. There is so much more you can do, and I found that in any of the graphics programs, and that's where most people kind of put the tablet was with graphics. It was Photoshop or it was Paint or it was one of those programs. But to be able to use this even in Excel or in PowerPoint changes the way you interact with your computer. So this really is, I would say, I don't often use the term, or sometimes I do use it too much, but it is revolutionary.
He said it is revolutionary. I thought I gave you a bit more time on that one. But
oops.
No, your Sam thing fades out, which is annoying in some ways.
Oh, yes, it's got, yes.
It's got an automatic fader. So,
yes.
People seem to be saying the Bamboo is revolutionary, and I happen to agree from my first impressions, but we'll have a full review of that next week.
Yeah, it's certainly taking computing down the path where I think it should be going.
Here's the thing. I can play video games with my fingers directly now.
I'm not touching that.
Yeah, when you shouldn't. Instead, we can just play the next song. This is from an English band. I think they're English anyway. They sounded. The band's name is Colour.
Are they in black and white?
They're Colour. They even spell Colour correctly.
That's because they're,
and,
then they're obviously not American.
They're obviously not American. The song's called Over the Moon. Listen for the timing. It's a really fun song.
Okay.
This is all that we talk about. She said, paint this wall so it's white again.
Radio 2RDJ, The Gadget Grill, the voice of the Inner West, The Gadget Grill on the voice of the Inner West, and I'm getting slightly confused because...
you're going around in circles, just like the outside of a lens
just
on
like
a camera.
Or the folk? Yeah, you can talk because I'm done.
Okay.
I'm too tired.
Okay. Well, what we're talking about tonight, we've got a review tonight of... The Olympus Pen, EP1.
No, it's not a pen, is it?
It's a camera called the Pen.
Why is it called the Pen?
Well, they used to have a small camera 50 years ago called the Olympus Pen.
What the hell is with Olympus? They have to call something after a pen. Can't I have my pens and my camera? I'll shut up now.
No. Well, this pen has got image stabilization built into it, but...
I can draw and shake at the same time. Anyway, I'll shut up.
Just think about what they might have called it.
Okay, yeah.
With IS.
Right.
Okay. But it's the Pen EP1, not the Pen IS.
It's actually called the Olympus EP1. You're wrong. It's the EP1. The Pen's the name given to it, but it's actually called the Olympus EP-1. So just get on with it.
Okay. It's a four-thirds camera, micro four-thirds camera, which means that it's using the four-thirds format. And it is a very, very nice camera to use. It's got a good solid feel in it. The glass that that you can get with it, which is either the 17mm pancake or the 14-42mm
zoom. It's all numbers to me.
Yeah. They describe the focal length of the lenses. Mm. The 14-42 is a 3x zoom.
Okay.
And it gives very, very nice image quality, and it's quite a good camera to use. What they've done is they've removed the mirror box from your traditional single-lens reflex camera, which makes the camera thinner and lighter.
No, I got to be honest, in playing with this thing, it kind of feels more like a point-and-shoot. There's no viewfinder. It's a giant screen for you to look at.
And that's a part of their design market, I think,
yeah,
their design goal.
I thought we were playing with it today, actually, at the Stratfield Spring Fair Carnival thing, and I found the lack of a viewfinder really distracting.
And you're quite right. I found that it made it very difficult to use. You can get adapters for it, and we're actually using some old legacy glass on it.
Isn't
some beautiful.
Peter Worthington's, isn't it?
It belongs to Peter Worthington, the lens that we were using.
Review, yes.
Yes. And I was using a Carl Zeiss 70-210 lens off an old Olympus, and the lens was beautiful, and this was producing beautiful images with this.
As opposed to you, were producing beautiful images.
Well, that's right. Yeah, with me, if it's a good image, then it's the gear, not me.
Yeah.
But very, very nice, but in the glare of the being outdoors during the
very
day,
hard to use.
It was quite difficult
and
to
there's
use.
There's the added problem I found with it. I mean, okay, I'm annoyed that it doesn't have a flash. I would have thought that a camera like this would have needed the flash. It can go up to, I think, ISO 6400.
6400, yes.
Which is great, but, you know, even so, it's still I still think it could do with a flash to really make that work.
Especially for indoors, yes.
That said, it's really got some great little features, like the to make...
The manual focus is
the manual
very
focus
nice.
Where you twist the focus
very
and it zooms in and lets you manually focus properly. I like some of the art modes because you can get these... It's kind of fake, but you get these pinhole sort of cameras, these old dirty, grainy shots, an art shot, you know, high key sort of stuff. It's actually a really nice touch, and what I saw about this was that this is a camera that's made for people who would normally think, oh, I feel like spending $7,000 and getting a Leica, but you can get one of these for $1,200.
A little bit more than $1,000.
Yeah.
And it is a very, very good quality
built
camera.
It's like a tank. It is built well.
It is
like
built well.
Better
it
than
is
some,
solid,
some of the cameras I've owned.
Produces very good images. It's bringing Olympus back to the quality that they were renowned
absolutely.
For in the 70s.
They should be doing these, not those other SLRs they were doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except that this does need an optical viewfinder of some
It has
sort.
One for one of the lenses, but it doesn't quite function. It's only there, you know, for the point of
yep.
needing it. Anyway, so let's get into some music. Oh, we're going to play some Australian music for a change.
It's not for a change.
Just kidding. I'm going to play an old Silverchair song. This is Cemetery.
Need a change. Not to imitate, but to irritate all the ones who hate. I may blame.
88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the only gadget grill that could possibly come up with enough useless gadgets to fill a sack. Which explains why I'm not holding that sack right now. Let's not get into the sexual connotations of what I possibly said there. Let's just get into some useless crap.
And we have some very interesting useless crap today. The one that really takes my mind is, it's not really useless, but I think it may well be, it may suffer from a slight lack of legality.
Ah, that's never stopped us before.
No. There is a, from Hong Kong, they've got a license plate cover. It comes with two plates, wiring, and a remote control. And one of the covers is a privacy cover.
Oh.
And as you throw the switch and turn it on, it hides your license plate.
I can see a lot of people doing that as they go through red lights in this city.
Red light cameras and speed cameras and going through the...
Perhaps your ex-girlfriend's in the car behind. You don't want her to know what your new license plate is.
That's right.
It says something like, sucked. Yes. Anyway...
It's $121. It's available on the internet.
It's probably highly illegal.
And I suspect that it does suffer from a slight lack of legality.
Yeah, that's never stopped anyone, though.
Now, how about an egg separator? Would you like an egg separator?
Is it separate? What, are we talking about the fetal eggs or...?
We're talking about you get an egg, you crack it, and you use this for cooking.
Oh, cool, right. A USB
okay.
one?
No, this one is a little jug.
Is a little brown jug getting drunk right now?
It's sort of a pink jug.
Okay.
And the yolk gets blocked by... It's got the shape of a face on it.
That sounds wrong.
And it's It's got the shape of a face, and the yolk gets blocked by the nose, and the albumen, okay, that's the egg white,
you can stop
comes
now.
Out through
you
the
can stop
nostrils.
Now. You can stop now.
Okay. Well, we're going to stop now, and in fact, what we have is... we've got to tell you about next week's show
quickly. What's next week's show?
Next week, we're going to be talking about colon cleansing.
Colon cleansing, eh? Well, it just so happens I've got this new USB gadget with me right here, the USB colon cleanser. You take this part here, Dad, you see this right here?
Right.
This long stick, it's got a USB thing at the end of it, yeah. And I just put this in your rectum. You want to bend over? We can try it right now, live on the air.
Do you know
we'll
where
plug
you should
it into
stick
the computer.
That?
Where should I stick that?
Exactly. I'm Gary Stark.
I'm Lee Stark. I think I am.
We'll be back in the Gadget Grill next Sunday night.
Next week.
RDJFM.
That's right. Next week we'll be reviewing the bamboo for you.
And we'll see you then.
We'll see you then. We won't be colon cleansing, we assure you.
In her prison of wishes, we love and we fight, but it's all day for night, just a masquerade. We're real till the red light is on.